The House will come to order. Today is January 23rd, 2015, the ninth day of the session. The pending deadline for our consideration is Monday, February 2nd. That's the last day for House bills to be submitted to LSO for introduction. The Chief Clerk will read the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly. Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer. Halverson.
Here.
Harshman. Harvey.
Here.
Hunt. Yagi.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kasparic.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson-Lloyd.
Here.
Larson-Lloyd.
Here.
Larson-Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Pinnell.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Summers. Steinmetz.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Burkhart.
Excuse.
Burkhart excused. Connolly. Connolly excused. Greer. Greer excused. Harshman. Harshman excused. Moniz. Moniz excused. Nicholas. Nicholas excused. Summers. Summers excused. 53 present, 7 excused.
Our prayer today is offered by the Reverend Rick Hull, representing First Christian Church Disciples of Christ.
Let us come again before that which is ultimate, infinite, the more of our existence, the one whom many call God. Let us come seeking the divine law for our life. Let us pray. Many faiths have sought to express your way in a golden rule. Judaism has put it this way: what is hateful to you, do not do you to others. A Buddhist might say, hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. In Islam we hear, no one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. Among Hindus it has been expressed, do not unto others which would cause you pain if done to you. Christians have said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Each of us strives for that perfect law, but we see your way imperfectly. Until the perfect way comes, we ask that all the laws of this legislative house might enact your law of love. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
While the ladies and gentlemen are still standing up in the House, I'd like you just to acknowledge and welcome our Claremont Mayor, Chris Schock, and his wife, Karen, to the House chambers. Welcome.
Welcome to the House. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to introduce a student page we have today. This is Senator Escobel's granddaughter, Simosea Escobel. She's 8 years old. She attends St. John's Baptist Catholic School down in Denver. She loves her puppy, Suki, very protective of her younger brother, Tay. He has seizure disorder, and she loves to swim, do gymnastics, and dance. And if anybody's looking to buy any Girl Scout cookies, she'll be back here in February. Say hi, Steve. Say hi. And Grandma and Mom are up in the gallery there.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, I'd like to introduce Mark Kitchen. He's a vice president from Northwest College. He's traveled all the way down here, and I imagine he's going back this weekend, too. Thanks, Mark.
Welcome to the House. Representative Blackburn.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I'd like to introduce my companion of 44 years, best friend and wife, Judy Blackburn. Also, I'll take a minute to introduce my granddaughter, who's beside her, Nicole Galbraith.
Welcome to the House. Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Today, the Wyoming FFA state officers are joining us to kick off the first ever Wyoming FFA Advocacy Week. The group of young people was frustrated with the lack of knowledge in society about agriculture and food products. An idea was hatched to start a campaign dedicated to advocating for agriculture that FFA members from across Wyoming organize and run. So the Wyoming Agriculture Advocacy Week was born. They are here to meet with Governor Meade today and spread the word about the importance of ag and be a voice for agriculture. Representative from House District 10, we introduced them. We both had wonderful experiences in FFA growing up in the 70s out in eastern Laramie County. We know there are some others in the room that had those same good experiences. Representative Eklund.
Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Please proceed, Representative Eklund.
Up in this gallery here, we have the state officer team for the FFA. They're Quade Palm of Medicine Bow, Baxter Heinhardt of Powell, Kyle Weber of Powell, Austin Burkett of Burns, Jess Oldham of Lander, Heather Loris of Casper, Tyler Clementson of Shoshone, Caleb Green of Dayton, and Lacey Nelson of Tensleep.
Welcome to the House. Journal report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 22, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
The doctor of the day is Joseph Dobson from Cheyenne. The nurse of the day is Diane O'Dell from Wyoming Medical Center. Please welcome them. We're now at that business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 132.
House Bill 132 from Representative Throne, an act relating to children.
House Bill 132 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 137.
House Bill 137 from Representative Northrup, an act relating to child custody and visitation.
House Bill 137 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 142.
House Bill 142 from Representative Ben Zwanitzer, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 142 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill 151 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to governmental immunity.
House Bill 151 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 160.
House Bill 160 from Representative Brown, an act relating to property.
House Bill 160 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 161.
House Bill 161 from Representative Brown, an act relating to civil procedure.
House Bill 161 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96. See it.
Oh, you read the LSO. Should be House Bill 159. They did. Okay.
Correction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 159.
House Bill 159 from Representative Throne, an act relating to separate statewide riding assessment.
House Bill 159 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 164.
House Bill 164 from Representative Steinmetz, an act relating to public education.
House Bill 164 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 157.
House Bill 157 from Representative Harshman, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 157 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 126.
House Bill 126 from Representative Throne, an act relating to elections.
House Bill 126 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 168.
House Bill 168 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to water and sewer districts.
House Bill 168 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 8.
House Joint Resolution Number 8 from Representative Dave Zwanitzer, a joint resolution requesting Congress to eliminate the freeze and longer combination vehicles and consent to the creation of a volunteer compact between western states that will establish uniform size and weight limits.
House Joint Resolution Number 8 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill 128 from Representative Greer, an act relating to time requirements.
House Bill 128 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill Number 130 from Representative Burkhart, an act relating to public pensions.
House Bill 130 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152 from Representative Madden, an act relating to impact assistant payments.
House Bill 152 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 176.
House Bill Number 176 from Representative Yeagy, an act relating to state budgets.
House Bill 176 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 7.
House Joint Resolution 7 from Representative Burkhart, a joint resolution to the United States Secretary of Agriculture and Chief of the United States Forest Service, expressing support for the timely and scheduled completion of Rare Element Resources, Bear Lodge Critical Rare Earth Project Environmental Impact Statement.
House Joint Resolution number 7 is assigned to Minerals Committee number 9. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 122.
House Bill 122 from Representative Nicholas, an act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 122 is assigned to Labor, House Committee number 10. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 46, Nix's Law, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Escobel, Halverson, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, Winters, 2 no votes, Representatives Baker and Croker. Signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 53, Minerals to Added to Value Added Product Facility Fund Program, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters. 1 no vote, Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 115, Vehicle Registration Timing, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Ekman, Dave's Wanitzer, 3 no votes, Representative Laux, Reeder, and Walters, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 124, Determination of Highway Rights of Way on Federal Lands, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Ekman, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 23. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 23 from Representative Patton, an act relating to the Next Generation Science Standards.
There is an amendment. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You'll notice, first of all, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 23 and ask for your favorable consideration. If you look at this amendment, it reads, it adds another section, and it says, the State Board of Education may consider, discuss, or modify the Next Generation Science Standards in addition to any other standards, content, or benchmarks as it may determine necessary to develop quality science standards for Wyoming. In no event shall the State Board of Education adopt the Next Generation Science Standards in whole. And really, the thrust of this amendment is to stay true to the nature of removing the footnote, in that it allows our state board to look at the Next Generation Science Standards and to craft something that is unique and rigorous for Wyoming. Keep in mind, these Next Generation Science Standards are trademarked and they're copyrighted. And so it begs the question, do we want our students to have trademarked and copyrighted cookie-cutter standards from a company that does not reside in this state? And so with that, I would say this. We are all committed to the success of our students. But I believe if our state board adopts cookie-cutter standards, it will contribute to the failure of our students. Again, what this does is it keeps the focus on creating standards that are rigorous and unique to Wyoming. And with that, I thank you. Stand for any questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The science standards are part of what the Department of Education comes up with to put curriculum inside the classroom, decide on what they're going to do. We don't need to micromanage that from this level. They are more than capable of doing this on our on their own. We don't need to go through and tell them what they can and cannot do. We should give them the latitude to do that. Because if we don't, like I said yesterday, it impacts our students' marketability, K through 12, and up into the higher education. I would urge the body to resist this. Let's remove the footnote. Let's let our Department of Education do what they're mandated, and I'm sure they will come up with the right solution.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against this amendment, I think we talked extensively yesterday about a process. I suggest we let that process go forward in the end. The Joint Education Committee will hear that recommendation from the State Board. If we find something egregious or the legislature at that time finds something egregious, we can always come with a bill at that time. So I would urge us to stick with the process and resist this amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we started out with a simple bill, a clean bill. It simply reverses the action that was previously taken by this body. Remember, this bill has to be further considered, and so ours is not the last action on it. And I resist this amendment because I want to leave this as a simple bill with a simple question that simply addresses the action we took last time. I'm not saying that the content of this amendment is necessarily incorrect. I won't advocate for that one way or the other. I would simply say that if somebody wants to attach this to next generation science standards, they ought to do it with a bill and not an amendment to this bill. So I'd ask you to resist this amendment, vote it down, let this bill go out clean the way it was put in, the way we represented it. And if there are other issues that people have with that, let them bring it in a separate bill. Thank you.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and against the amendment, the last line of the amendment says, in no event shall the State Board of Education adopt the next generation science standards in whole. What they're doing, what we're doing, is placing this body as the State Board of Education. Heavens forbid. It's really not for us to decide. We are elected by people and given a responsibility. We, in turn, have the power to grant some authority to the various departments that make up our great state of Wyoming. We granted that authority statutorily to the State Board of Education, and it's only worked pretty well for about 100 years. And now here we come along and place it before the group that the State Board of Education cannot adopt the next standard of science standards in whole. That presumes that the State Board of Education has already provided a outline of exactly what it wants to do. That's not true. I did call one of the State Board of members this morning and visited with her. She told me about the deliberation that they actually held back for a full year, to the point where they were about to make a decision and the footnote came in and denied them the ability to proceed with new standards. Further, Mr. Chairman, if I might, call for a point of order. I want the body to understand that this point of order is, in fact, a deliberate attempt to try and make sure that we adhere to our own rules. Our own rules provide that the body of an amendment or change in any amendment must coincide and be enforceable by the title itself. The title was very narrowly written, and it's written in a fact in which only the funding to the State Board of Education will be relieved and be available for them to continue their efforts. Does not provide for any direction to the State Board other than that. So if the sponsor wants to withdraw the amendment, I think that would be the neat way out. If not, I will request the Rules Committee to rule on the propriety of the amendment relative to the title. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a request or call for the Rules Committee to determine whether the proposed amendment is within the scope of the bill, so I'd ask the Rules Committee to please come forward.
Mr. Speaker. Chairman Miller. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just to let the new members know, they can come up and listen to the Rules Committee if they wish.
Yeah, Chairman Miller, that's correct. As long as there's space, anybody interested can come up.
That's why I didn't raise my hand.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the Rules Committee has determined that the amendment is not germane to the main motion pursuant to House Rule 11-4G, and as a result, it has been ruled out of order, and we will proceed to the main bill. And House Bill 23 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36. The reading clerk will please read the bill. I'm sorry. The next bill for our consideration on second reading is House Bill 25. And the reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 25 from Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to taxation.
And there is a proposed amendment on House Bill 25. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number one to House Bill 25 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Proceed.
I want us to reconsider putting the sunset back on this bill. And obviously the bill passed the House very, very strongly. Sunsets are good. And the more I'm in this House, I believe that sunsets get better and better all the time. There's a reason for them. We're given an exemption to an excise tax, and I believe it's good for us to look at that again and to see if it's still successful, things that we want to happen. It was brought on as an economic development tool with many employees, and I agree with that, but I sure wish the body would consider putting the sunset back on it. Thank you.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd urge you to resist this amendment. Let me tell you a little bit about the genesis of the elimination of the sunset. I originally brought this bill in the 2013 session, and it had a sunset on it. And when we got to the second reading down here on the floor, one of the good chairmen stood up and said, if this bill's worth passing, let's just pass it and give this industry the exemption and not fool around with the sunset. That's not an exact quote. He can defend himself if I've misrepresented him. But anyway, so since then I have carried the bill with the permanent elimination of the sunset. In a perfect world, we'd collect the tax and also benefit from the robustness this brings to the state and the communities where these shops reside. But it's not a perfect world in this case. Let's look at it first from the standpoint of the customer. These big trains go out of our state carrying raw materials, may go hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles away. They come back. They need just routine maintenance or, in some cases, more extensive repair. So on the way back, they can pick where they want to have their cars repaired, and they're going to pick a state where there's no sales tax collected. Or we can look at it from the standpoint of the company. We heard testimony in committee, and it was reflected again on the floor about one of these companies that had started with 14 workers in the late 90s and is now up to 100 workers. We heard testimony in the committee about the lost business and downsized facility that resulted when this exemption was removed for a few years in the early 2000s. We also heard testimony from a plant out here southwest of town that now has 8 workers and has plans to build to 20. So if you're a business, will you gravitate towards the uncertainty of a legislature volleyballing around exemptions and sunsets? No, you're not going to. They need something more substantial to plan on for the future. So this exemption, this industry has been good for Wyoming and these established businesses and the communities represent. I think if there's ever such a thing as a good tax exemption, this would qualify. So I urge a no vote on the amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like to kind of affirm the bill sponsor's remarks on this. We have sunsets all the time around here, but I've never heard in the last 9 years, I've never seen a sunset date that was only 1 year away. If this were to pass, we'd be back here next year trying to, you know, move the sunset presumably to 2017, and before long it would be an annual bill. Well, it kind of is an annual bill already as far as, so, you know, sunsets are okay, sunsets are good things, but certainly you can't expect a business to plan ahead because we got a one-year sunset on a tax exemption, and the whole purpose is to add certainty to what the horizon or the future horizon looks like for investors and decision makers. So I urge you to not support this one-year time extension.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The former speaker just stole much of my thunder because I agree. In general, I understand and appreciate the concept of sunsets. If we were talking about a 10-year sunset, something 10 years from now, I think that my thoughts would be different about this particular amendment. But 1 year is not enough to allow this business to actually get any sort of work that is substantial. And so I would urge you to resist this particular amendment.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Speaker Pro Tem. I urge you to resist this amendment also. The traffic on America's rail systems, and in Wyoming particularly, is expanding beyond its means and capabilities, really. Give them a break. Let's get these cars repaired right here in Wyoming. And I urge a no vote. Thanks.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. In my night job, I travel to the Cornhusker State, and then in the middle of the Cornhusker State, there's a town that's named after a river that flows east out of this state. And there's a rather large shop there that's company-owned, and it'd be real easy for that company that would be looking at sunsets to say, you know, it's probably better for us to expand this rather large shop and keep everything within the company. And that's one of my biggest fears about putting a sunset on this. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The one thing about this sunset, ladies and gentlemen, is the bar will be higher if we try to, if we do it 1 year at a time, the bar will be higher. So we got to time it so that it comes with a general session so we can actually deal with it when we can actually get something in us without the two-thirds bar. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Second time prior to the sponsor? Okay, the question is on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 25. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 25 has failed. House Bill 25 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now on House Bill 36. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill number 36 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to telephone service.
House Bill 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 73. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 73 from Representative Harshman, an act relating to adoption of education content and performance standards.
House Bill 73, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 74.
House Bill 74 from Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
House Bill 74, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 76 from Representative Stevenson, an act relating to the Wyoming Public Library Endowment Challenge Program.
House Bill 76, having been read two times, separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 82. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 82 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
House Bill 82, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 85.
House Bill 85 from Representative Stevenson, an act relating to motor vehicles.
There is an amendment. Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you this amendment. I'd like to move Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 85. I'm really not all that excited about this amendment, but I am yesterday, if you'll recall, when we voted on this bill, if this would have been a third reading, it would have failed. So I think it's fair to bring this back and look at it. So this is just giving us a chance to look at what happened. It passed yesterday because we had so many people off the floor. And last night as I was visiting some folks that are from the place where the mountains are tall and there's a kind of a hole there, big tourist place, they were saying this is a problem up there. And they were saying this is putting all the emphasis on the motorist and nothing on the bicyclist. And the sponsor did a good job of reading what's in statute, that they have to be on the right side of the road, but we're not designating anything. And I think we are designating it for the motor traffic. So I'm a little concerned that we're still looking after them and not placing the responsibility on them. There's a whole bunch of things that I would like to bring and put on the motorcyclists that some other folks have said, some conditions that they have to follow. But even with those conditions, I'm not sure that we're going to help this out. So I just would like us to have another discussion about it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wilson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm against the amendment. I have to confess that I actually went back and forth several times yesterday on the bill itself, but I would suggest that this amendment really adds nothing beneficial other than that we've just used 60 pieces of pink paper. I mean, obviously no one driving along the road deliberately drives at an unreasonable distance from a bicycle, so then we can argue whether it's 6 inches or 4 feet or whatever, and it seems to me that the purpose of having a statute is to insert clarity, and I don't think that this does. So I would suggest just defeating it and then tomorrow deal with the bill on its merits.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the good sponsor of the amendment and I do have a little bit different perspective. He thinks it barely passed because there were people missing on the floor. I think it passed so narrowly simply because there were so few people on the floor. But that being said, I think this really actually undermines much of the concern that we heard from the sponsor of this amendment and others yesterday about certainty and enforceability. If we want people to know what their obligation is, we should make it a definitive obligation. And this, I think, undermines that and certainly undermines any enforceability of the provision. So on that basis, I'd ask you to vote no.
Chairman Harvey.
Perhaps this is a discussion that should have been held yesterday, but I went home and thought about this bill and thought about reasonable and thought about distances. And there were so many instances that came to my mind that I think brings reasonable into question. Like farm equipment. What is reasonable for farm equipment when there's a bicycle on the road? And you know, you got your tractor that's this wide, but you got your equipment that's this wide. It just seems like what is reasonable? Is it reasonable that the tractor pulls clear into the other lane to give a reasonable amount of room for the bicyclist who's on the road? And I think there are, you know, tractor trailers, pulling trailers. I think that there are horse trailers. I think there's a lot of different examples that could be given that maybe it's not just the width of the vehicle that you're driving, but what you're pulling behind you that creates the issue with reasonable or not reasonable and what we expect drivers to do to get around.
Representative Freeman. Pedaling a little slow this morning.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, but thank you for letting me speak. I would also urge the body to resist this amendment. What we're talking about is common sense. And 3 feet just sets a standard. We talked a lot yesterday about let's do an education campaign. And as I said yesterday, it makes more sense in an information campaign that says, you know, give bicyclists 3 feet instead of reasonable. The other thing that is I think that most bicyclists are very cognizant that they are in a precarious situation. I know when I'm on a narrow road and I see a car coming and there's two cars coming, I get off the road and let those two cars go by and then I get back on. I think most people do that. But the bottom line is if I'm a bicyclist and I'm going on and I'm on the side of the road and you hit me from behind, just like if I was in a car, you are responsible. You are liable for that. So it doesn't matter if we say 3 feet or any of those other kinds of rulers. Let's find a way where vehicles and bicyclists can cohabitate the road safely and efficiently.
Representative Blackburn. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate what the gentleman just before me said, that it doesn't matter, because the reality is normally we find out about situations like this after an individual has been struck. 3 foot wouldn't matter one whit in a situation like that. Secondly, normally the car is the one going in the straightest line. Bicycles have a tendency to weave. And so how can one expect that you're going to duck and dodge and try to maintain a 3 foot gap? It would be much easier for the smaller vehicle, in this particular case a bicycle, to try to do that. So I think reasonable is a far better alternative than trying to establish a ruler that doesn't matter, as the former individual said.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before Representative Reeder?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm up in favor of this amendment for the first time.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the bringer? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, some good thoughts were brought up about this. The information campaign of staying away, you know, the responsibility of motorists, but the information campaign, kind of the rules of the bicyclists, needing to be as close to the edge of the road that they can be also. I think the public awareness is something that was brought out. And I really am not too excited about this amendment, so I will withdraw it at this time and bring something tomorrow. Thank you.
Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 85 has been withdrawn. House Bill 85 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 100. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 100 from Representative Madden, an act relating to fuel taxes.
There is an amendment. Chairman's monitor, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 100. And I would like to remind you about what House Bill 100 is and how it came about. As you remember in yesterday's discussion, this has to do when we raise the fuel tax by 10 cents. And in doing so, it was the will of the body of the legislature at that time to put an amendment on it that the funds that go into the highway department would only be used to maintain the roads. So what my amendment brings is actually a sunset that asks us to go back and look at this in 4 years. And here's what the situation is, ladies and gentlemen. Through the years, we have always heard, and we heard in the state of the state, that we need to improve our infrastructure. We need to start improving it. Well, to improve it, you can't just maintain it. And you can't just continually just maintain. Sooner or later, you run out of maintaining, and you have to put money towards improving. It is my belief that this particular session, and I was going to bring a highway funding bill, but this may not be the session to do it. So this amendment actually puts a sunset on the restriction that only the tax can go to the management of road funds.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the chairman of transportation came up with a good bill, and I would urge you to support, or good amendment, and I'd urge you to support it.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a little more information on the amendment. You know, and we've been dealing with this issue a little bit in appropriations because I think all of us want that 10-cent fuel tax to be accounted for separately. That sunsetted. And then there were three parts to this. It was maintenance was a part of it. Three parts. There's three parts that our YDOT can spend it on. And the maintenance part, I was assuming, too, that maintenance meant maintenance of existing roadways, but there's also a little room in their definitions that, you know, it could include some construction of a passing lane or an expansion of some kind, is my understanding. So that's why I'm asking for a little clarification on that, because we, too, were concerned that, you know, we didn't want to restrict it so much, but when you pull maintenance out, the only part of that I'm concerned about, maybe I got to look a little closer, is that it can't be used for other things in the YDOT budget, because maintenance really ties it into the road piece. And when you pull that out, you've got aeronautics, you've got the highway patrol and all those things. So maybe a little information on that.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, after that comment, the amendment that provided for these restrictions back when we passed the tax was one that I had brought in. And the concept behind that was, our roads were deteriorating, and we needed these additional funds just to try to keep them at the same level so we didn't lose ground. And so what we tried to do was put a box or side rails on there to say, hey, you're going to spend this to keep our roads maintained at their current level or use it for that purpose, not for building new roads, not for building new bridges, not for campaign or whatever, safety programs, but to keep the roads there. And then we want you to come in and account to the legislature, I think through the Appropriations Committee. And that had a sunset date on it, as most things we end up kind of negotiating to that point. And so, you know, I think the decision is do we really want that 10 cents that we told people was going to be used to maintain the roads at the same level or not? Seems as if the other question was asked by the good chair of appropriations if we don't want to make it that restrictive, we still need to make it so those funds are used on the roads themselves. So I hopefully that helps just a little bit.
Anyone else for the first time? Second time. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These are good comments, particularly the comments from the representative from District 29, and they're relevant. But the point is, this is something that will be discussed by the legislature in 2018. Nothing's going to change until 2019. The reporting requirements and the maintenance requirement is going to be the same till 2019. And if that legislature in 2018 or 2019 wants to keep this going, they will put this, move this sunset date out into the future. Otherwise, they'll just take it off. So this is just a way of saying, let's just see what it's like 4 years from now.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm kind of getting my memory back now on this issue. I'm gonna vote no on this amendment because when we passed the fuel tax, it was all about road maintenance, road construction, and maintaining our highways. So in 4 years, and really why this bill is so important, because now currently, without this bill, it'll just roll into the YDOT budget. Could be used for aeronautics, could be used for Wyolink, could be used for state troopers, all those kind of things. So then, in effect, it sunsets it again. And I think when we pass that tax, folks understand it's accounted for differently. There's currently no administrative fees that go with it. Every dollar goes to laying pavement in Wyoming, and that's what sold me to vote for the fuel tax, not to just throw it into the blob and 4 years from now and hire more troopers, buy more radios, whatever it might be. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Swanser, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do appreciate all the good comments. And ladies and gentlemen, remember, this was only for the money that was created with the 10 cents. So this department has money that they can kind of shuffle around and move around. And for when we did pass that gas tax, it was very important that time. But we don't know what the situation is going to be in 4 years from now. And that's what this bill does. It says, let's look at it. Maybe we will need it for other things. Maybe we will be in desperate need of rebuilding some bridges or whatever the case may be. So I just want you to give some thought. If we do not pass this amendment, then it just stays in there forever that 10 cents of the 23 cents, it's obviously a 24 cent, but one goes to lust, leaking underground storage tanks, excuse me. Otherwise, it just stays in there for perpetuity. And I think that we need to at least come back and look at it at some time to say, hey, it's great, let's leave it in there for a while, and or, you know, we found some new priorities, and we really need to get that money out of there. So I would encourage an aye vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 100. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 100 has failed. House Bill 100, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to our director of our Sheridan County Library, Cameron Duff. It's his first time in the House. Welcome.
Welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 8, 15, 21, 30, 49, and 58.
Does anyone wish to have any of the bills removed from the consent list? Reading clerk will read the consent list bills.
House Bill number 8 from the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 15 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 21 from Representative Stubson, an act relating to interstate secession, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 30 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to deposits and depositories, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 49 from Representative Walters, an act relating to criminal procedure, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 58 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to Medicaid, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn. I'm sorry. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem. Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lauk,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 8, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 15, are there any changes? Clem, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Reader, aye to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no. As to House Bill 21, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 30, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 49, are there any changes? Summers, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Wilson, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Petroff, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Freeman, aye to no. Dayton, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 41 aye, 19 no. As to House Bill 58, are there any changes? Croker, conflict? Northrup, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Wilson, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 10 no, 1 conflict.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bills 8, 15, 21, 30, 49, and 58 have passed the House. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 75, Balanced Budget Compact, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrup, and Reeder, 2 no votes, Representative Edwards and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution 4, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Reeder, 2 no votes, Representative Edwards and Wilson, and signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 120, Tribal License Plates, respectfully reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Zwanitzer, 1 no vote, Representative Laux, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Re-referrals. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to re-refer House Bill 120 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 120 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole, and the bills that we will consider on general file are House Bill 111, 31, 56, 35, and 41.
Well, Madam Majority Floor Leader, that's a tall order. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 111. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 111 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, amending the requirements for obtaining a resort retail liquor license, specifying the permissible use of resort retail liquor licenses, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 111, Resort Liquor Licenses, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Barlow, Vice Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 111 do pass. And I further move standing committee amendment number 1. And the amendment really just cleans up the language and intent. There are no substantive changes. So if we can pass the amendment, I will explain that within the context of the bill. And if there are no questions, I'll call for the question.
You have heard You have heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. The standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Go ahead, Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this truly is a cleanup bill, even though that bill doesn't look so clean. We struggled with the language over the interim. We kind of changed it and changed it back. But the intent of the bill was this. We wanted to codify and make explicit what's already in practice and already implicit in these statutes. The bill doesn't take away or add any requirements for someone to get a resort liquor license. It doesn't add the ability for new or different entities to possess a resort liquor license. So first of all, quickly, I'll explain what a resort liquor license is. A resort liquor license is able to be obtained if an entity has 100 or more sleeping units, if their value is over $1 million, and if they have a restaurant and convention facility of more than 100 people. You can also qualify as a ski resort with a $10 million investment, and that gets a little confusing in the bill. It looks like we're adding that language, but if you look at the repealer, we're also taking that section out. We're just rewording it within the bill. So 30 or 40 years ago, these licenses were generally issued to mom-and-pop businesses, hotels with a restaurant attached, and these were generally owned and operated by the same entity. And so that was kind of the assumption. Today, the food and beverage operations are often operated by a different entity, and even the ownership of the hotel or condos can be by different entities. We even now have things that look like hotels, but the different rooms are condominiumized. So there are a lot of different structures that we have today. The law doesn't prohibit these types of arrangements, and we are currently issuing licenses to them. All we're doing in the bill is giving explicit permission for those arrangements and cleans up the way those arrangements happen. And that was something that was requested by the division that oversees these licenses to help them with compliance. So the first part of the bill on page 2, that's the first substantive change. There are two substantive changes. And the first substantive change is on page 2, line 9. We just say this paragraph shall not be interpreted to prevent the use of a resort liquor license by a contractor or subcontractor as permitted, and so forth. Beginning on page 2, line 14, all the way through page 4, line 2, all of that is just rewriting current language in the statute. So those are not adding any new regulations or provisions. It's just rephrasing current statutes. The second substantive change is on page 4, beginning on line 10, and we say no transfer of resort liquor license shall be required where the license is used by a person with whom the licensee has contracted or subcontracted for the provision of food and beverage services on the licensed premise. And we specify that the resort liquor licensee shall remain subject to all applicable laws, rules, and regulations. And so what this allows is the resort owner or manager is the holder of the license, and if they're subcontracting someone, that both of them are required to meet the license requirements, but the license doesn't need to be transferred every time that there is a new subcontractor for that operation. So with that, I will take any questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question involves page 4, where we're dealing with no transfer of a liquor license shall be required with a license used by a person with whom the license is contracted or subcontracted for the provision of food and so forth. In another section of our liquor statutes, we've had some issues with, you know, owners of licenses leasing to tenants or people that are leasing their property. And that trouble always arises when we try to find out who owes the taxes on it. Sometimes we have a situation where the person that the lessee thinks the lessor is responsible, and some think the lessor, just vice versa. So is it stated elsewhere in this statute on who's responsible for sending in the excise taxes?
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you look on line 14 of page 4, it says, however, the resort liquor licensee shall remain subject to all applicable laws, rules, regulations, and penalties. And so what we're doing is we're saying that the resort liquor license holder is the holder of the license. They are responsible for everything that goes to the department. They can subcontract the food and beverage operations, and those people are required to also comply by the rules and regulations, and they're held equally responsible.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the bringer of this bill. It's a word that I've never heard before, and I'd like a little explanation of it. It's condominimize, and what that really means.
Chairman Petroff?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, when every time I tried to type that, I got a funny little line under it. So,
Chairman Madden?
Just one final question on this same paragraph. Maybe it's just because it's Friday. But this, if a licensed owner leases to a subcontractor, and he or she puts a statement in there saying that the subcontractor shall be responsible for all excise taxes in the entire business, and it turns out that the taxes aren't paid, does that mean the state could go to the licensed owner and get the blood out of him?
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's my understanding, and the department was there to testify. They didn't testify to that specific issue, but they did say that the resort liquor license holder is responsible for everything that the licensee does. So I believe that to be the case.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Petroff's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report to do so with the recommendation that bill number 111 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House bill 111 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 31 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to public utilities, exempting from regulation as a public utility metered or direct sales of water by a producer or other person to his tenant as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 31, Exemption-Water Utilities, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 31 do pass, and also has a standing committee amendment, and I would turn the explanation of the bill and the amendment over to the good chairman from Cheyenne, Wyoming, who is the bringer of this bill to the Minerals Committee.
Chairman Zawanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 31 deals with water utilities in regards to landlord-tenant laws. And basically the best way is to give you some examples. If you have a trailer park or an apartment complex or a mini mall, et cetera, where you have multiple users on the same water system from a municipal utility, right now under current law, under current statute, you have to take every trailer in that trailer park and you take the total water usage for the month and divide it among each one of those. And so it wouldn't matter if you had 10 people living in one unit every day of the month and maybe someone else in the oil patch who's in their trailer 2 days a month, their water bill is the same unless that landlord chooses to become a regulated public utility. And so I would submit to you, no one wants to become a regulated public utility. You have to go before the PSC. It's very bureaucratic. You have some hearings to go through. And so what this statute allows, this change, is for a simple change just in the water part of the statute. And so if you are a landlord and you would like to distribute water based among usage to your tenants, this allows you to do so. We had a case arising out of one of the southwestern counties in Wyoming about 4 years ago that triggered this. PSC estimates we may have more than 100 entities in Wyoming who are operating outside of the law right now, but they don't really have an investigatory arm. So when a complaint comes to the PSC, they can go investigate, and they really have no choice but say you must become a regulated utility or you must continue the current system of dividing the maximum into each one of your units. So the key to the bill actually is on line 11 on page 2 when it says you can't include any additional fees or charges. So as long as the owner or operator of whichever unit, trailer park, apartment complex, etc., doesn't charge any additional fees to do the work of allocating the usage, they're going to be currently in compliance with the statute. While this is a little bit more of a burden on the owner-operator, it's certainly much, much less of a burden than having to become a regulated public utility. And so this is only in the water statute. Certainly it doesn't affect oil or gas or telecom, large corporations that have people dedicated to going to PSCs and working through these issues long term. So it really is, I think, a very good small business bill. It's an equity fairness bill, and it's pro-environmentally friendly because hopefully it cuts down on people's water usage because it can be directly allocated to their usage. So I'd be happy to answer any questions on the bill, and we stand for some.
And we've got a standing committee amendment.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. And so there were some questions in the committee on the words on line 9 on a producer or other person. And so there were some examples of what if a person went and drilled a well and had a, when you have a committee hearing, you start coming up with some creative examples and ideas of, what could be the loopholes. And so PSC looked at this again with us, and they came back and said, we really don't need the language of producer or other person because this really does just affect, the small business owner and isn't intended to go on a large scale. And so there wouldn't ever really be a time where you'd need something that would be called a producer in this regard, which is only one other place in the PSC statutes. And so they agreed we didn't need that language, and it could just be solely to a person. And so I'd call for the question on the standing committee amendment unless there are questions on it.
Okay, question being called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 31. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 31 has passed Committee of the Whole. Any additional discussion on the bill itself? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 31 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, signify by saying no. House Bill 31 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill Number 56 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to agriculture, creating the Wyoming Food Freedom Act, exempting certain sales from licensure, certification and inspection, providing definitions, providing conforming amendments, granting rulemaking authority, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagie, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim. One no vote, Representative Campbell, signed by Robert McKim, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Chairman McKim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 56 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the House Standing Committee Number 1. And we'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the sponsor and also the explanation of the amendment to the sponsor.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to House Bill 56, Standing Committee Number 1 amendment, I brought these amendments to the committee after speaking with the some of the packers in the state and their association in regards to some of the issues that they had with the bill. We were able to clean that up. You can see, if you go to the House Standing Commitment Number 1, page 5, after line 18, we've inserted, not involve the sale of meat products, except the sale of poultry, and poultry products may be sold under this act. The reason that we have exempted beef and hogs and goats and things of those nature is because that is required under USDA rules and state inspection rules to be an inspected animal for the resale value, whereas poultry products such as chickens, by USDA rules, you can butcher up to 20,000 head of chickens in your backyard and be just fine. So we deemed it okay at the time to keep poultry on the Wyoming Food Freedom Act. Also on page 5, line 16 through 17, we have deleted entirely, inserted, it shall be the purview of the producer to inform the end consumer that any food product or food sold at a farmer's market is not, and if you turn to that page, I was not prepared, pardon me. Shall be certified, labeled, licensed, packaged, regulated, or shall not be, pardon me, Mr. Chairman. It shall be the purview of the producer to inform the end consumer that any food product or food sold at a farmer's market is not certified, labeled, licensed, packaged, regulated, or inspected. We felt that that was a good amendment to bring forward. That way it puts it on the producer and not the person running the farmer's market or something like that. And that way the informed end consumer, the person actually buying the product for consumption, will have a better chance of being informed on everything that's going on with that product. I will go ahead and move for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
Okay, we are on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to go back a little bit historically and help this body understand and reinforce some things that the good representatives brought to us today. About 3 years ago, my freshman year, this same bill came up from a very prominent representative that used to sit over there against the wall, and my good deskmate with the green tractor on his desk and I tried to defend or tried to kill the bill for the issues of this amendment, and that is we have state-inspected packing plants in this house or in this state, and they have an agreement with the USDA because we don't have any USDA inspectors in the state of Wyoming. And so that agreement allows these state-inspected plants to sell to the public within the state of Wyoming. That language that the good presenter of the bill has taken out, if it were left in, would have destroyed that ability for them to do that. It would have been very detrimental. Back 3 years ago, that dominant presence over there against the wall pretty well mopped the floor of me and my good deskmate's hands, and we went crying down to the other side of the hall and told one of our big brothers how mean she had been to us, and he killed it down here. And I just would express my appreciation to the good presenter and reaffirm to you guys that I've been in touch with the state-inspected producers, and they are in support of this amendment and have no problems with the bill. Thank you.
All right. Further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 56. Chairman Madden.
Maybe if the sponsor of this bill could explain one more time to me why. What I learned from the last speaker is that the reason we put the amendment on from line 15 in the amendment not involve the sale of meat products is because of a competitive worry that packing plants have in the state. Is that right? I mean, I guess I must have missed why that's in there. Why is that necessary? Is it a competitive thing or what?
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It has everything to do with the fact that it would put our state inspection process at risk with the USDA. Currently, the state of Wyoming is attempting to get a USDA-inspected plant site, and this bill would jeopardize that in a big way as the bill was currently written, and that's why this amendment has been brought forward.
Any more discussion on Standing Amendment Number 1? Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a meat packing plant in my district, and one time I got to see with my own two eyes a meat disaster. A steer had been bought and was being brought to my town for slaughter. And on the way to town, the animal jumped out of his trailer and actually was killed on the highway. They processed it what they could in the ditch on the highway and then brought it to the processor in that condition. And I've seen meat show up at the processor in terrible condition and unfit. And you certainly don't want to bypass any inspection or inspections with meat in particular, because it can be disastrous. You're talking about equipment in processing meat where you're using saws and in an environment where you can contaminate a lot of equipment, and then you have to remediate after the equipment's been contaminated by an animal that, for instance, has an abscess or has issues. So you don't want to bypass the inspection process there with meat. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Any more discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Question being called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 56. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed, and we are back on the bill. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to say this bill is an old friend to some of you, and I'd be remiss not to mention the late representative from Coal Country that has brought this issue to our doorstep once again. And it was I was always very impressed with the efforts that were put forward, and that's why I brought this bill.
It also has a lot to do with my involvement with the LEED program in the state of Wyoming and what I was able to see throughout the state of Wyoming from the Valley of the Stars up into my neck of the woods in northeast Wyoming. This is something that is happening already. This bill just codifies what is already happening. Food, our locally grown food in the state of Wyoming is currently, by law, on a black market. If you want to buy eggs, if you want to buy milk, if you want to buy jams, or anything like that made in a homemade environment, brought forward by our local producers with our own local products, that's currently illegal. And that's where we have gone awry. And that's why it's important that we bring this bill. And I would appreciate your favorable consideration, and I would move the bill. Representative Baldwin.
Thank you, Chairman. My only concern, and I stand in opposition to the bill, is the concern for public health. And it's a public health thing that I've witnessed, especially concerning raw milk. I'm all for free enterprise, and I'm all for all the industry making is whatever money they can, but I'm very concerned about the public health issue of diseases. In particular, raw milk comes with a number of bacteria. There have been several occurrences in our state, as well as the states surrounding us, which do permit it, and that is a concern, and that's my only concern, and I would stand in objection for that matter.
Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honored in support of this bill for multiple reasons. One, just real life example I can give. We used to have chickens in our backyard because we loved having farm fresh eggs every morning, and it was wonderful to be able to gather those eggs and cook them. And then my wife developed an allergic reaction to the dander in the chickens, and we had to get rid of our chickens. And it's just frustrating to me that it's illegal for us to go to one of our neighbors and just say, "Can we buy some of your farm fresh eggs every morning?" I mean, this is the United States of America. How is it that there's a law against me buying fresh eggs from my neighbor? As far as the health questions go, I think there's a very legitimate reason why stuff sold in the supermarket undergoes all kinds of inspections, because when you go to a store like that, you don't know where it came from. And so there's a very legitimate reason for having standards and inspections in place. But this is talking about person to person. I mean, shouldn't I be allowed to make the judgment to walk to my neighbor's, you know, small little farm and look at how he raises things and trust that I know that it's safe because I can use my own judgment? Shouldn't we allow our people to use their own judgment and purchase these kind of products and not get the government involved in every aspect of people's lives? I mean, food can spoil. If I have food in my house and I leave it out and don't properly refrigerate it, it can spoil, even if I bought it at the grocery store. So what's next? Do we need to allow the government to come into people's homes and write tickets for people who don't properly refrigerate their food because they're not responsible enough? I mean, I think our country's based on personal responsibility. Let's let people be responsible for their own decisions when it comes to their food.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. This is an old friend, and I think in the past I voted against it. This year I think I'm going to vote in favor of it, but I think it's fair to share with the body the story of the old me and the new me. The new me loves to go to farmers markets. I am absolutely thrilled that my community not only has one, but two. And to be honest with you, I spend lots of money at them, because I love them. And in fact, I tend to go towards whoever seems to be new, whoever seems to be young, and I buy whatever they have, and honestly, sometimes it's truly terrible. But still, I do it, and I love it. Okay. So that's the new me, who goes every Thursday and Friday all summer long. All right. Now imagine the old me. I won't tell you how many years ago, but at this point, I think it's 30-plus years ago. Okay? The old me was an older kid, a young woman who was feisty and on her own and would do whatever I could to make rent. All right. One year, I decided, because my mom had taught me how to can tomatoes, I would can tomatoes. Right. My mom taught me how to hot pack tomatoes. You need a great
big pot, right? You need some special equipment, et cetera, et cetera. But I went to the library and I found out that you could cold pack tomatoes. Any of you who have done any canning in here and know about cold packing, it really isn't safe, right? But I cold packed tomatoes. I went and bought myself bushels of tomatoes. I cold packed tomatoes and I gave them to friends. Yeah. If I had the opportunity to go to a farmer's market, I would have sold all of those mold-producing, bacteria-infected, right, cans of tomatoes, right? Those tomatoes were rotten, right? But we didn't know about it for a few days, right? I had to go and run and get back all of those cans of tomatoes. So I tell you that story to have you consider the new me versus the old me. The old me would have gone to a farmer's market and sold those tomatoes, I can guarantee you. And right now, our laws protect against the old me, right? Do we want to continue that? Honestly, I see this bill now having the protections in it, right, that the old me would need to label, right, those jars. And I think I'm willing to go for it this year. But be warned, you've got lots of new me's out there and probably lots of old me's as well.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the good representative's story about how she might have gone to a farmer's market, therein lies the beauty of small business. The good representative would have quickly been out of business after poisoning her area. That'll be all.
Representative Pilkey.
Mr. Chairman, I first like a moment of silence for those who received the cold pack tomatoes from Representative. I stand in support of this bill. As the previous speaker, I live in a community with two farmers markets and I'm a regular buyer, and I actually see Representative often spending great sums of money on the streets of that fine community over the hill. I stand in support of the bill brought by my good friend from the county, whose name warms the hearts of defense attorneys all around the state. And I would like very much to encourage others to vote for this measure, simply because we're simply trying to regulate a market that's already out there. I confess I've made several illegal purchases of farm fresh eggs from a young woman who used to travel around our neighborhood selling those eggs, and it took me a little while to realize that I was engaged in a potentially illegal transaction. This bill will clear up and eliminate problems with those sorts of transactions, and as the good representative said, the free market will determine those who should continue in that practice. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. My first year on ag, this bill came, brought to me by the good representative from the reclusive part of the state, who's no longer here with us. I was opposed to it. The next time that same representative ran the bill, I was a co-sponsor. And I'm a co-sponsor on this bill because it's the right thing to do. I enjoy going to farmers markets myself. And it's just given us the right to buy from our friends, our community. And so please support this bill. Thank you.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I stand in support of House Bill 56, and I think it's about time that we move it along.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I speak in favor of this bill, too. And it's been brought several times, and when I was thinking with the testimony just a minute ago, and it sort of gave me a lump in my throat because of a lady in the northeast part of the state that brought this bill several times. I want to remember her with this bill. Thank you.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand in favor of this bill also. In committee meeting yesterday when we heard testimony on it. It was quite interesting because we had an agency there that oversees all the diseases, and they were speaking on the fact that one-third of the disease are these ailments coming from raw milk or from these unpasteurized products that were being sold at farmers' market. But then upon questioning, they did have to admit that one-third came from processed food also, and another third came from another source. So we find that there's a risk there. There is. But isn't that the way life is? There's a risk in everything we do. Thing is, you have to use common sense. We've talked about common sense before. But as far as this bill goes, great bill. I come from that area. We have many farmers markets. And I'll tell you, if you want the best food, that's where you go.
Representative Kasperk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, it's interesting that, you know, I got to know that great lady from the Northeast. And just a few months ago, I received a birthday wish from her from that Book of Faces online. And I supported this bill when it came up before. I'm a nurse. I believe in safety. I believe in making sure we have good practice, but I believe in having choices to be able to enjoy the things that we want to enjoy and the foods that we want to eat. Thank you.
All right. Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman McKim's motion that House Bill 56, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with recommendation that House Bill 56 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 56 has passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report. And actually, I'd like to change that to, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 1:45 p.m. 1:45 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add to that, ladies and gentlemen, that we will continue on the GF general file. We have two bills, and my intentions would be that we would be close to 3 p.m. for finishing up our work day.
Do we have any committee announcements? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Labor number 10, is going to meet immediately upon adjournment. Immediately upon adjournment today in room H17 to hear House Bill 57, Health Insurance Medical Necessity Reviews.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue number 3, committee number 3, meets Monday, January 26, and the time will be 7 o'clock in the morning in the usual room, H11. We're going to talk about House Bill 102, property sales, highest bidder, 43, tax sale certificate of purchase, 140, malt beverage tax, 141, malt beverage tax repeal, number 129, property tax exemption, charities, if time permits.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, is going to meet Monday upon noon recess to hear House Bill 93, Public Service Commission Authority, House Bill 79, Resort Districts, and House Bill 168, Water and Sewer District Assessments.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet in 10 minutes in room H8. To discuss House Bill 94, Parental Rights. Furthermore, Judiciary Number 1 will meet Monday, January 26th, upon noon recess, Room H8, to discuss House Bill 150 and House Bill 134.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock in room H18 to consider two bills, House Bill 54, Corrective Action Account Distribution, and House Bill 60, Trust Company amendments, and they're sure easier to read when I put my glasses on.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your House, your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet Tuesday morning, January 27th at 7 a.m. Consider two bills. House Bill 70, the water bill. House Bill 84, conservation district levy.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet at 12:15 today. The meeting will be in H-10 on the third floor. I do want to just remind everybody the House Joint Resolution number 2 will be heard on Monday immediately after adjournment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will continue supplemental budget bill markup, and that will continue in about 10 minutes on noon recess and tentative upon adjournment, depending on how far we get, and will resume markups at 8 a.m. on Monday, January 26th. Also, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, committee number 2 will consider re-referred bill, House Bill 27, NRC Agreement State Authorization, upon noon recess. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Okay, the Committee of the Whole will rise and set again at 1:45.